Right now, I think we'll look at some things that are assumed, some wrong assumptions about the laying up of treasures. Okay, in the Bible, Paul is called our apostle. He's called the apostle of the Gentiles, the being singular, which rules out other apostles being that special apostle of the Gentiles. So why are we talking about Israel if we're Gentiles and well, we'll find out. Okay. There's a reason. We're going to talk about this that we don't very often talk about, and it's a scriptural item that needs to be taught, I believe. Even though it's about Israel, I hope it helps to correct some false assumptions that we all are prone to make. Lay up treasure. The Lord's apostles were given a prayer. It wasn't, it's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, but he gave it to his apostles. And in it, we read, that's in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, we read, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So God's will is done in heaven. It will be done on earth, according to the prayer. Israel was promised that heaven's kingdom of God is coming to Israel, that they would reign on earth with Christ on the throne, reign on earth from Israel. So why is Israel told, lay up treasure in heaven? Their reward is the kingdom on earth, ruling for 1,000 years over the other nations, and beyond 1,000, actually. Lay up treasure in heaven. And then Peter, in his first epistle and first chapter, he says it's in heaven reserved for you. So, and we're going to look at Luke 19, verses 11 to 15, but before we do that, we'll go through a little more of the Lord's Prayer and make some comments. But whenever we're reading in the Bible, we need to accurately identify who the pronouns are. When it lists a pronoun, you or me, you know, who is he talking about? What does that mean? Everybody that reads the word you is who he's talking to? No. We're not told to make an ark, even though it says build thou an ark, make thee an ark out of gopher wood. Well, I'm not the thee in that verse, or you're not. Nobody is building an ark for salvation from God's wrath in the form of a flood. We're not doing that anymore. Start in Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. So who's he talking to? Who's the ye? Well, he was talking to his 12 apostles, Israel's 12 apostles. Not the apostle of the Gentiles, but Israel's 12 apostles. And he goes on and he says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So, who are the our? O-W-R, excuse me, O-U-R, in our Father in heaven. Who's the our? That would be Israel's father then, right? Israel is the our. He's praying with his 12 apostles and using the plural form of you. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So the Lord called Israel his son, his firstborn. Israel has a right to say, Our Father, which art in heaven. So Israel was God's son, and God was Israel's father. Going on in Matthew 6, verse 9, After this manner pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Praying for it to come. It's time. In fact, they were sent out after this with the message that the kingdom is at hand. It's within grasp, in other words. You know, all they had to do, really, was to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, which they refused to believe, of course. So, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And in the next three verses, Christ uses eight pronouns, all of which refer to Israel, not to us Gentiles here today. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, Israel's debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 6:10, the 10th verse back there, says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. And in earth is what we're going to focus on right now. God's kingdom has been in heaven, the kingdom of God. And it was to come to earth in a future kingdom to rule as God ruled in heaven, extending the kingdom of God in heaven to earth, extending it to earth to rule over the earth. Israel was promised that heaven's kingdom of God is coming to Israel. That was part of the promise. You can read it in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. We're going to read it a little more here in a minute in Deuteronomy 11. But God will send an outpost from heaven to earth to rule the earth from the land. That's the land that was what God promised to Israel. And it's not what man has placed over there today, that little strip of land. That's puny. That's not the land. Well, it will be part of the land, but the land goes from the Nile River to the Euphrates River and up to where Lebanon is, up in the area of Syria, almost up to Turkey, actually. A big triangle, huge triangle of land. That's the land that was promised to Abraham and his seed. So, Deuteronomy 11, verse 21. That your days may be multiplied. Okay, pronouns. Who's the your? Your days. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. Your children would be the children of Israel. Israel's days. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. That's the kingdom. Daniel 2:44 talks about it, that it's once it's set up, it will never end. It will never be, it'll never have an end. It'll be there forever. Well, it's not there. So it hasn't been set up yet. It's yet to be set up. Question. So with that in mind, why is Israel told, lay up treasure in heaven? Matthew 6:19 and 20, we'll read the verses. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. So that's the verses. And in contrast, look what Paul tells us. Us. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. He's sent to minister to us Gentiles, us that are not in God's Israel program of covenants and promises and laws, etc. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. We're not going to be on the land. We're going to be in heaven, believers that Christ died for our sins. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. That's a reference to the word of truth that Paul discusses in Ephesians 1:13. He goes on in Colossians 1:6, which is come the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So Paul is explicit about the grace of God, being saved by the grace, having our hope, our future to be in heaven. Okay. So the word of the truth of the gospel, which is the grace of God in truth, but it says that our hope is in heaven, our destiny, our conversation is in heaven, our future is in heaven. Look at Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are aware of his coming to the clouds, not touching down on earth, but coming to the clouds. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will catch us up. So, but that's about us. That's about the Gentiles that believe Paul's gospel, being saved into the body of Christ during this dispensation of the grace of God. Dispensing of the grace of God. It's a widespread access to God because of his grace that we only need to believe that he died for our sins. Not do something to prove that, you know, that we're better and that we're not going to sin anymore or anything like that. He died for sinners. That was the mystery that had been kept secret. That was part of it, I should say. But why is it? Let's see. Our future domain is in heaven. We said that. Israel's future domain is on the earth. So why do we say that Israel inherits the earth when Scripture tells us that Israel is to lay up treasures in heaven? That's the conflict there. That's the question mark. We're told that Israel is going to inherit the earth, live on the land, but that their treasures are to be laid up in heaven. Well, there's a clue about it in 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5. Let me just get a sip here. Hold on. 1 Peter 1, 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And always I identify the pronouns again. Who's you that is told to lay up treasures in heaven? Who is you that it's reserved in heaven for? That's for Israel that comes to that ends up as a kingdom on earth, in the land there, east of the Mediterranean. Reserved in heaven for you. The you is Israel that Peter addresses three verses earlier. In the first verse, you is not, you Gentile listeners, myself included, centuries later. You know, let's go to verse 5. Reserved in heaven for you, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, that's a lot different than our salvation, isn't it? We are saved upon belief. We're saved upon belief. As soon as you believe that Christ died for your sins, and you're not going to try and say, look what I've done, Lord. I've been good, boy. You know, like Barry was saying earlier, we're not worth it. But the Lord died for our sins. Died for the ungodly, died for his enemies. For the wages of sin is death, and he died that death so that we don't have to. He became sin for us so that he could make us the righteousness of God. He doesn't see the sins our bodies do. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a contradiction if Israel's treasure is reserved in heaven for them who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Isn't that a contradiction? The in heaven part and them still being on earth, though. Can you see the possible conflict that confuses some people there? If Israel is to lay up treasure in heaven, and that their inheritance is reserved for them in heaven, how does that fit that they have a future on earth in the land? Why is Israel told to wait for heaven's kingdom to come down from earth, come down to earth? I'm satisfied with the answer that I find in Luke 19. We mentioned it briefly before, but let's take a look. especially verses 10 to 15, I think. Let's start in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. So that's what we want to focus on, this parable that the Lord spoke to Israel. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They didn't realize that at his first coming, it would be not with observation, that the kingdom would be within that group that was questioning him. It'd be those disciples of Jesus standing with him. That was the kingdom the kingdom of God that started without observation at that time. It's going to be with observation when he comes the second time. You can read that in Zechariah 14:4, I think. It'll be a mighty day. There'll be no conference table then. He will take over. The kingdom of God is not here yet. The kingdom of God is glorious. It's in heaven now, and it will be on earth later. The law will be written in Israel, in the Israelites' hearts. You can see reference to that somewhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but in 1 John 2, I think you can see it pretty distinctly that the law is written in their hearts. They're in a new covenant, yeah, but it's still with the law. It's just that it's not on paper that they have to learn. It's in their hearts, written in their hearts. Their nature has changed. It's written in, the law will be written in Israelites' hearts when the kingdom of God comes from heaven to earth. That's yet future, okay? But let's go on down through the passage and get the sense of this parable. Verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Well, to me, this parable answers this question of why was Israel to lay up treasures in heaven, and why does the scripture say that their inheritance was reserved for them in heaven? If they're going to be ruling on earth, and if their future, their inheritance, and their destination is all on earth. Well, it says that a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So the Lord Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven. The kingdom has to do with Israel, but Israel right now is lo-ami, a word meaning they're not God's people. God has disassociated himself with them because they denied God the Father through rejecting the prophets. They denied the Son, putting him on the cross, and they denied the Spirit in the mouth of Stephen, speaking the words directly from the Holy Spirit to the high priest, the scribes, the elders, the people. They were all gathered together, and they stoned him. They stoned him for speaking the words of the Holy Ghost. So they denied all the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and became lo-ami. Not God's people, and God is not their God at this time, though. That will change, but right now, they're not God's people, even though you talk to them and they think they've got a pass, that they can't be sinners because they were born a Jew. But God will open their eyes at the right time, his timing. Going on in Luke 19 to verse 13 now, and he called, this is about the nobleman, that went, let me just read it. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, remember he had gone to a far country to receive a kingdom, when he had returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Okay, well, the point is that helps us here, it helps us understand the situation that Israel is in. Having received the kingdom is the other end of Christ's physical absence on earth. He's not here now. He was here, and he will be again, but in the meantime, there's this gap while he's away. He's in heaven. That's, you know, when he comes back, that is the second coming to earth of Christ, where he touches down and there's the mountain, Mount of Olives is split in half. His absence began with the end of his Mark 16, verse 20, confirming signs that he, that were part of, actually part of the year, what's the term he used, the acceptable year. The acceptable year of the Lord was when he had gone to heaven after his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. He went to heaven and kept giving, working with the apostles, giving signs to confirm that he was the Christ, and that they were right in believing in him instead of what the Jewish leadership wanted them to do, to reject Christ. Look at Mark 16:20 about the signs. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Scripture indicates that those Mark 16:20 confirming signs ended at the time of the revelation of the mystery of Christ to Saul of Tarsus, setting Christ's pattern to save sinners that believe Paul's gospel of salvation. The point of this Luke 19 parable, how he heals the misunderstanding about how does why is it that Israel has to lay up treasure in heaven? Why is Israel's inheritance reserved in heaven? It's because their king went to heaven to obtain a kingdom, and he will return having received the kingdom. That's when he comes back and touches down on earth. Remember that the kingdom is of heaven. It is the kingdom of heaven. It comes out of heaven to the earth. The kingdom of heaven is not heaven. It's in heaven and it comes to earth. It's identified on earth as being of heaven, having been in heaven, coming from heaven. That's why the of heaven. When Jesus Christ came to earth the first time, it was without observation. When Christ comes the second time to earth, he splits the Mount of Olives and he takes over the world. That will be undeniably observable. They will find out. Zechariah 12:10 says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Observable? Yes. Matthew 24, verse 30 says that they shall see. In other words, they shall observe. They're blinded now. That was the curse that Paul pulled out of Isaiah chapter 6, the casting away curse, and he cursed them in Acts 28, and that was the end of Israel. There's no more to write. That's the end of Acts. No more to write about the Acts of Israel or the apostles of Israel. So let's see what it says in Matthew 24:30. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory. That's the end of this gap where he's not on earth. That will be in the future. That definite scripture does not sound gradual, does it? It's not gradual. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to earth the second time, it will be quite observable. And that will be different from Christ's first coming to earth. Christ, Luke 19 parable describes for his disciples the prophetic long-term plan that God will fulfill. He will have his way in the end. In the meantime, he lets people have their choice. Christ would go away, in other words, be rejected, go to a far country, heaven, receive a kingdom, which is the disciples' laid-up treasure, and then later, having received the kingdom, Christ will return to reign on earth and judge those left behind, the great nations. the sheep nations on the right hand, the goat nations that ganged up on Israel will catch it, and they'll be judged. The nations that were against Israel, and we'll see that Christ's going away and return fits exactly into what Christ had prophesied earlier about the acceptable year of the Lord. That being in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and in Luke 4, 19 to about verse 22. If you think about it, Israel was expecting that their Messiah would be accepted, and so he would stay and reign as their king. That's that would be a more smooth way of it happening, but in that case, there would not be any opportunity for the acceptable year of the Lord. And in Luke 4, Jesus Christ did prophesy that he would be preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. So that had to happen, and it did. Israel rejected their Messiah, and for 1 year, there's the prophecy of the fig tree that would not produce, and they, instead of digging it out, they fertilized it, watered it, and doctored it up for a year to see if it would produce fruit, and if not, then they would cut it down. Well, that was the year that Israel was given an extra year to receive their Messiah, and Christ would have come back. Acts 3:19 to 21 says Christ would have returned from heaven and begun to rule if they had received during that 1 year. Well, that 1 year ended with their final rejection of the third part of the Trinity, when they stoned Stephen, speaking the words of the Holy Ghost to the high priest and the council of Israel. That's all I've got on it right now. Are there any questions before we close up on that? Any comments, questions? We'll try to answer them from Scripture if we know what verses to use.